Good to see the sunshine today as we come to worship the Lord on this beautiful Lord's Day. We're going to join together in the singing of the hymn 672. There's a call comes ringing, oh, the restless wave, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light. Psalm for today, Psalm 68, as we listen to the Word of God, let's turn to the Scriptures. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah. And rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. And we're ending our reading there at verse 11. Let's bow together in prayer. Many of you will be aware that one of our committee members, Sean McCauley, is in hospital. And he's getting some tests done. He's in good form, but some tests need to be carried out. And he's been there for a few days now. So do remember him, especially as we come now to seek the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word. We thank thee for these verses that we've read together. We have been brought to see the Lord already in what we've read. The great and the sovereign, eternal God. The one that is Jah or Jehovah. The covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God, the eternal God. And it is into the presence of this God that we seek to come now in the attitude of worship. We come to praise thy glorious name for who thou art and for all thou hast done. We come to glory especially in the great work of redemption that has sealed our inheritance for heaven. We thank thee for all that Christ came to do when he entered this world. We thank thee that he lived a life of perfection. We think of the impeccable life of the dear Savior. We thank thee that he was obedient unto God. He kept the law. He kept the commandments in our behalf. And because of his righteous life, we thank thee that he lived that on our behalf, and we have a righteousness today that covers us. And then he went to the cross and laid down his life in sacrifice for our sin, taking upon him the judgment of God, that punishment that we deserve forever. We thank thee for all the doing of the Savior, especially at the cross at Calvary. And Lord, we do rejoice in him, lest we forget. Gethsemane, lead me to Calvary. Help us, Lord, to ponder even now in our hearts what Jesus accomplished on our behalf when he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We thank thee for the truth of the gospel that thou hast given to us, and we realize our responsibility to share it with others, to send the light, the glorious light, into a world that is filled with darkness. We pray that there will be that facing up to responsibility today, and that we will realize the duty of our Christian lives as we walk in this earth, as we meet with our fellow men, whether it be family or neighbors, friends, colleagues, strangers, that we have this mammoth task of sending the light, the glorious light, the gospel light, to a needy world. We pray that our life, therefore, will tell for Christ, the life that we outlive before our fellow man, and we pray that our light will be bright. John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light, and we want to be like him in that. We pray that you will remember this congregation, each one that has come here personally, some, Lord, coming to worship as families. And as we come, Lord, we often think of how we come from different circumstances and what the person beside us finds themselves in as far as their situation of concern is entirely different than where we are. We're individuals. We carry our own burdens. We have our own set of difficulties that we face every day. But we're coming to a God of great supply, a God who is able to meet our need. And Lord, we pray that you will look upon this people, this church today, this gathering of those who love thee, who esteem thee, who desire to be here, who desire to worship God. Look upon them in your favor, in your pity, in your mercy. Whatever problems are being carried, we pray that you'll ease those problems. Whatever burdens that are weighing down heavily upon an individual life, Lord, we pray that you will ease that burden. We thank thee for the burden bearer, the one who carries us and carries our burdens too. And Lord, you've told us to cast our burden upon the Lord, for he shall sustain us. And Lord, we need grace to do that. We pray that you will draw strangely near, powerfully near, personally near to each individual in this gathering, and bless them as they've come to the house of worship. Remember those that are listening in too on the internet. We commend them to thee with all their need also. Remember the sick of the congregation. We think especially of Sean in hospital, praying for his recovery. We know that these tests are being carried out. We pray that there will be success at the end of it all, and that the matter will be treatable, and that your servant will know your touch. Lord, we thank you for doctors, nurses, for science, for all that men can do as far as medicine is concerned. We are ever mindful that there is a great physician, and his name is Jesus. And we pray that Sean will know his healing balm and healing touch in his life today. Continue to remember Nigel and Chrissy and Aaron and others, Lord, that are much upon our minds and thoughts on the prayer list. We commend them to the grace of God today. We thank thee for this Sabbath. We thank thee even for the beautiful day. Thank thee for the sunshine that God has given, for the early season of prayer, for the Sunday school, the Bible class that has already taken place, the word that has been sown into the hearts of children and young people. Lord, make it fruitful for your honor and glory. And give us a blessed day. Bless this service in which we meet. Come and sit with us now and do us good for Jesus' sake. Amen. Very sincere welcome to the congregation. We have those that listen in. I got a notification that sermon audio is down today. That's not just here, but right across sermon audio. I don't know whether it's up and running again or not. But if you're listening in on Facebook or on YouTube, we bid you welcome. And if sermon audio has got up and running, we also bid that audience welcome. The gospel meeting tonight is at 7. The prayer time precedes that, taking place on Zoom at 5:30 through the 6th. We continue with our series, The Awful Place Called Hell. Thursday night is the midweek at 8 p.m. And during the course of prayer, we will be remembering our Christian school especially. Friday night is presbytery at 8 o'clock. That will be by Zoom. And then we gather for prayer next Lord's Day at 8 o'clock on Zoom. Sunday school, 10:30. And coming into a new month in the Bible class, Mervyn will be taking up the series The Father's House for the month of June. And these are studies in God's heaven. And the first one, why heaven? Now, it's also Youth Sunday. And 12 o'clock and 7 o'clock are our times. I'll be here probably to make the announcements. No one queues up to do that. Young people will be taking part. And the Reverend Joshua Moffat, one of our own, from Bangor now, of course, will be the preacher next Lord's Day. Pray much for the young people as they participate under the circumstances in which we find ourselves in. Thank you for your tithes and offerings for God's work. And can I once again congratulate the young people that have achieved so much this week, becoming representatives in their school. It's always good to hear of Christians getting positions in secondary schools. And when they're from our own church, it's a great encouragement to us. So Aaron Johnson, we congratulate him, becoming head boy in Dalriada. And Rebecca Owens, becoming deputy head girl in Dalriada. We trust the Lord will bless them, and that this congregation will pray earnestly for them. We do commend the work of God in all its aspects to you for prayer, and the sick and the needy of the congregation. You see Sean's name is added in there. The college students are doing their exams. They've had 1 week down, 2 weeks to go, and they're all excited about it, I'm sure. So you pray for them and other young people that are facing examinations at this time. We had a good meeting on Friday night. It was the memorial service for the Reverend Wesley Graham. That took place in Bangor. And just by the way, there's a few of these order of services, hard copies. If anyone would like it just to keep, I've left them on the table there as you leave. And this was the Graham family, a photograph taken of Wesley's wife, children and grandchildren after the service, and then those who took part. Boy Matthew, the book is still available. We'll make one more mention of it today. We have copies, and you can see Wesley about that. You can get it here, you can get it at the shop. And I'm just mentioning one more time the contributions to the shoes. I got another big bag of shoes this morning, and I think there's more coming tomorrow from a man who lives up country. But these all came through in the past few weeks, and I was in touch with Emma, and she's absolutely delighted in it. She continues to help the poor that she's in contact with over there in Romania. And I shared this with the prayer meeting folks on Thursday night. The wee girl on the left-hand side came to school, came to kindergarten with this little dressing gown on. It had been clothes given to her, but she thought this was lovely just to come to school in it. But she went home with the coat on the right-hand side. This morning, with the opportunity to meet up with a group of people in Pakistan again, and we're thankful to Glenn, who speaks on the last Sunday of each month, wherever our sister Deep is, and there's about 70 or 80 people that are gathered and the good word that was brought. We're thankful for that. We mentioned to you that the teacher in the school that we are supporting had his birthday this week, so all the children celebrated their birthday on the one day. They just don't get to do that normally, so they decided they would sing happy birthday personally, individually, to every child that day. And our sister Joy on Thursday was able to link up with us and speak to the group at the Thara Tara Sewing Centre, and we appreciate Joy doing this. Over in India, the 70 orphans are still supported. I want to thank all who have been involved in this project. We thank you sincerely in the Saviour's name. And this is on its way to Uganda now that our brother Andy Foster has returned. This is the electrical panel that's being shipped. It was manufactured here in Northern Ireland and is now being sent out to the Christian school there. There was a witness made on Thursday in Rathlin Island by Jerry Nugent. He travelled up from Limerick and went out with his friend Pat, and they conducted an open air. These are just some screenshots taken of a video that was sent to me, and you know that boy there, Jonathan accompanied them, and they went round Rathlin as Albert used to do, and they were a witness to every home, giving out Gospels of John and seeking to present Christ as Saviour. We sing together 519, brightly beams our Father's mercy. From his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. This hymn was written by P.P. Bliss. He sat in a meeting where the great evangelist D.L. Moody was preaching, and Moody happened to relate a story of a ship that was coming into Cleveland Harbour on a very stormy night. And all they could see was the great light, the lighthouse. And the captain of the ship said to the pilot, "Where are the lower lights? Is this Cleveland? Are you sure this is the place?" And the pilot replied, "Yes. Where are the lower lights?" Because the lower lights guided them in. And he says, "They're gone out, sir." And he said, "Well, we're going to have to do our best." And the pilot says, "If we don't, we'll perish." And he did his best. But unfortunately, they missed the channel going into the harbour. And the ship hit rocks. Many, many lives were lost. And P.P. Bliss, as he was sitting in the meeting, he thought, this would make a good hymn. You and I, as God's people, as we shall see when we come to the message today, are the lower lights. And we ought to be burning for God. We are there to guide people to the harbour. to guide them to the great light, the lighthouse, if you like, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if the lower lights are not burning, well, then there's many are not going to be pointed to Christ. And so therefore the hymn, I trust, will be of challenge to you as we sing. Turning to the study in Mark's Gospel, we come to chapter 4 and three verses that I want to read with you, 21 through to 23. The Lord is continuing to speak here, and he said unto them, Mark chapter 4, verse 21, he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you that the very light that shines today in this beautiful Sabbath is reminding us of the light that we are to be in this world. If we could only, in a spiritual sense, be as bright as the sunshine that we see today that's shining physically, what an impact we would make upon society. We pray that we will take heed to what the Lord is saying, that we will indeed, as those who have ears to hear, listen. Listen attentively. Pick up the message of Christ. Lord, what an unfortunate thing it would be to come here to this worship service and not to meet with Christ in his word, and just to leave church just the same way. Don't let that happen. Lord, help us to sit up. Have minds that are alert, hearts that are ready to receive, souls that are in tune with God, on fire for God, wanting to drink in the word of the living God today, wanting to grasp the message of Christ. It is the voice of our beloved that's speaking in this passage of Scripture. And therefore, we ought to give diligent heed to what we're going to hear. Lord, help us to remember this text. And even some of the comments that we seek to make now upon it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I've entitled this message, Personal Responsibility, as we think of the light that our blessed Savior is speaking about. And we're going to try to deal with these three verses that are before us. Now, these verses follow immediately on from the parable of the sower. The good seed is sown into the good ground, and it brings forth fruit of varying degrees. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. The true Christian is eminently fruitful. Here's the evidence of the work that is done in the heart. Here is the effect of the gospel which has changed our lives. It is the confirmation of true grace, fruitfulness. To such we have been ordained by Almighty God. Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And that not only applies to the false shepherds, it applies to you and I as Christians too. The psalmist says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Psalm 92 and verses 13 and 14. There will be the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost has come to live in you if you're a child of God. And that Spirit who lives, the indwelling Spirit that lives within your heart and your life, brings forth Holy Ghost fruit, stands to reason. If we have been grafted into the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine, then as spiritual branches we will be fruitful. As Jesus said, the same bringeth forth much fruit. In John 15 and verse 5. We will be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1 verse 11. And he says we will be fruitful in every good work. Colossians 1 verse 10. And I want to put it to you today that part of that fruit bearing is the light which emanates from our lives. And this is the illustration that is used by the Savior in our text. Your life and mine, as Christians, are like bright burning candles set on candlesticks, radiating the light of Christ and His gospel to a dark and dismal world. The world around us is lying in spiritual darkness. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, prophesied in Luke chapter 1 that Jesus Christ was coming to give light to them that sit in darkness. Jesus Christ said himself that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. When Paul stood before the great king, King Agrippa, in Acts 26, giving his testimony, he declared how Christ had commissioned him to go to the Gentiles and to go to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And so the world round us is still in deep darkness, and their only hope is the light that God has given you and I to shine into men's hearts. Can't you see the great need all around you, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school, young people? You might be the only light that there is there. The man down the road doesn't know Christ. But you're living in the same street, you're living in the same place. You're to be light to him. And what about the nations that this very day are lying in gross darkness? This very hour, they are without a ray of gospel light to dawn upon their poor, darkened souls. Indeed, there's a call comes ringing all the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. And so the words of Jesus Christ in our text here are very relevant. They are appropriate. They are challenging. And I trust inspiring. What about you, dear Christian? As far as your personal responsibility is concerned, to be this light in the world. What about you young people, potentially with many years before you, if God spares you? Some of you have already committed your way to the Lord. Some of you are training now in Bible college. Others have had a thought of going there and preparing for the future. What about you young people? May the word come with great challenge to all of our hearts and lives, whatever station we're in, whatever place God has put us. I want you to see in verse 21 that there is a searching question here from the lips of the Savior. And it's this. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? And so you see that a candle is not to be lit and then hidden and concealed. Jesus says you don't put it under a bushel. You don't put it under a bed. No, you set it on a candlestick so that everyone can benefit from the light in that house. Spiritual gospel light is not given to you and I for our own personal benefit only. It is for the good of others. We are not to hide our light. We're not to hide it under fear. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Sometimes some Christians are afraid to speak a word for the Lord. Let's think of some of these countries where there's deep persecution, and we understand that. You're not going to be arrested in this country. Of course, there was a man in England arrested for preaching the word, but generally speaking, sharing the light of the gospel, you're not going to be put in prison. You're not going to be put to a labor camp. Your life is not in jeopardy. So don't let fear keep you back. Don't you hide the light under fear. Don't you hide the light under embarrassment. I trust there's no Christian here who is embarrassed about who you are and what your position is in Christ and how you love the Lord and you know the Lord. You should never be embarrassed about Christ. He was never embarrassed about you when he came to this world to do all that he accomplished. Don't hide your light under laziness, sitting back and not doing anything for the Lord. Don't hide it under negligence. Don't neglect your responsibility. Light is the knowledge we possess about Christ, the light of the world. Light is the message of the gospel that gives men understanding. And this light is to be shone. It is to be diffused and spread. We are to display this knowledge to other people round about and further afield. We are to tell them the good news that we have heard. We are to seek to bring them to the light. You've heard the question, have you seen the light? And really, that is speaking about the light of Christ, the light of the gospel. Think of the light that shone that day from the sky, not just the sun, but that brighter light who was Christ amidst the sun. And Saul of Tarsus was led low on the way to Damascus. In a very real sense, he saw the light that day, the light of Christ that changed his life. Jesus declared, and probably what was the greatest sermon that he ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 through to verse 16. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle in the same language is used here by the Lord, and put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. There's a great missionary text in Acts chapter 13 and verse 47 where the apostle Paul is saying, so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 17, or chapter 13, is the sending forth service of Barnabas and Saul. They begin their first missionary journey here. They sail to Cyprus. They preach the gospel in the synagogues. They journey on to Perga in Pamphylia, and then on to Antioch in Pisidia. And it's here in the synagogue on the Sabbath day that Paul preaches a mighty sermon, a sermon that features Christ the Savior, setting before them his crucifixion and his resurrection, and through him how that there was forgiveness of sins and justification. And this sermon was first to a Jewish audience, which by and large left the house of God that day unbelieving. But the Gentiles desired Paul to preach the same sermon to them on the next Sabbath day. And Acts 13 gives us the account of it. Let me just read from verse 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And then the verse that I read to you, verse 47. For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You see, these missionaries, Saul and his companion Barnabas, were set as a light to the Gentiles. And that light was the gospel, that through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they could have sins forgiven and they could be justified in the sight of God. And we are to bear that same light. We are to proclaim the same gospel. We are to spread the message of salvation to a perishing world. God has given us his word. He has shown us the way. He has opened our eyes to divine truth. He has brought us to see Christ, the only hope for the sinner. My friends, this is the light that we are to shine in a dark world. We're not to hide it. No, we must proclaim it, as it were, from the hill, the housetops. As Jesus said on another occasion, we are to bear the news to every land. We are to climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward, 'tis our Lord's command. We are to shout, Jesus saves. Thank God for our ministers who proclaim the light of the gospel. Thank God for the evangelists and the church workers. Thank God for the Sunday school teachers and the youth workers and the children's workers and the missionaries too. Well, we praise God for our missionaries, don't we, that have brought the light to other lands. Her sister Noreen, she's over for a few weeks now. How faithful she has been for many, many years, first in Kenya and now in Uganda, bringing the light of the glorious gospel to the multitudes that she comes into contact with. The Reverend John Hanna, though into semi-retirement many years in the land of Spain, carrying the light of the gospel to that needy land. And we think of Margaret Russell. She's now home and going into retirement officially at the end of this month. And we think of Wesley Graham. We had the memorial service for him last Friday night. He's been called home to glory. We think of others like Bill Woods, almost 60 years identified with the land of Brazil. But who will replace them? Noreen still soldiering on, but some of these other names, they're now in retirement. One of them's in glory. Who's going to take their place? It's going to be you, young people. Someone in this service. Someone listening in. You, dear Christian, are the light of the world. Men and women will not hear otherwise. God has ordained the very means of the spreading of this light, and that's preaching. How shall they hear without a preacher? And you're to be that preacher. You are to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2, verse 15. You are to be like the wise of which Daniel 12 and 3 speaks, that shine as the brightness of the firmament and turn many to righteousness as stars of heaven forever and ever. Is your light shining? Are you bright for God today? Only you can answer that. Are you letting your light shine before men as the Savior tells us to? Maybe don't sing it so much here. Sometimes we do, but when we go to other countries, we like to sing that old chorus that you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I wonder, are you shining that light, dear Christian, today? This light will be seen. Just as the light outside is seen. Can't be hid. That beautiful, bright sunlight, the blue sky. Our light will be seen. It'll be seen in our countenance. The very appearance of the Christian. It will be seen in our good works, of course. As Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It will be seen in our acts of charity and kindness and love, but especially our words. The message that we give to others is through the foolishness of preaching that God has ordained to save them that believe. So there is a searching question here. Then, secondly, there is a solemn declaration. And it's in verse 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. And what the Lord is saying very simply here is everything is going to be brought to light. One day, we shall give an account on the great judgment day. Bishop J.C. Ryle, commenting on this very verse, he said, the books of God in the day of judgment will show what we have done. If we have buried our talent in the earth, if we have been content with a lazy, idle, do-nothing Christianity, and cared nothing what happens to others, so long as we went to heaven ourselves, there will be a fearful exposure at last. There is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Do you ever think about the judgment day? I'm talking now to God's people. Do you ever think about it? The day of our accountability. We shall be summoned one day to stand before Almighty God. We shall give an account to Him. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. A text, and rightly so, we often preach to the unconverted to remind the unsaved there's coming a day that's appointed by Almighty God when you will die, but there's coming a day when you will face the judgment of God after this, after death, the judgment. What a fearful time for the unbeliever. But don't forget that God's people will stand at the judgment one day. The redeemed of the Lord have a reckoning day. We will not be judged so that eternal punishment will be pronounced upon us forever. That has been dealt with in Christ once and for all. We're not going to be judged and sentenced and punished for our sin. Jesus bore it all at the cross. Praise God. But we will be judged according to our service. We will be judged according to our works for Christ. According to our faithfulness to God and His Word and the souls of men. And we see this illustrated in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33 particularly. As Ezekiel is made a watchman, and that picture is borrowed from the watchman standing in the tower overlooking an approaching enemy perhaps coming. And to give warning, if the enemy is coming, you've got to give warning. If you fail to give warning, you'll be held responsible. And God says, Ezekiel, son of man, I have made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. And Ezekiel was to warn them from God. To warn them that they would die in their sin if they did not repent. And if he warned them and he was faithful, then their blood would not be required in his hand one day. But Ezekiel, if you don't warn them, if you don't tell them, one day I will require their blood at your hand. The day of accountability. Listen to what the great apostle says in 2 Corinthians and the chapter 5 and verse 10, speaking about this day. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Turn to the last chapter of divine truth, to Revelation 22, and notice verse 12. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. You see, there is a well done to labor for. Isn't that what the Lord taught in Matthew chapter 25, in that great sermon? It covers 24 and 25, those two chapters of Matthew's Gospel. Doesn't the Lord say in Matthew 25 and verse 23, and it's not the only text in this passage that I could refer to, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You can't expect the well done unless you do well. And the Lord requires us to do well in this life for Him. Now, how this judgment of the saved all comes together, I cannot fully explain. Ultimately, all true believers will pass through into eternal life. We will pass through the judgment into eternal life. We will be received. We will be accepted. We will hear the words, come, ye blessed of my Father. But before that, when we're standing at the judgment seat, there seems to be a number of things that are worth mentioning. One of them, of course, is accountability. We will be held accountable, as we read in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God, the day of accountability. And we can think also of Matthew 18 and verse 23 as the Lord speaks along similar lines. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And that passage that follows is all about taking account. Is all about giving an account. Is all about what we do with the talents that God has given to us. So there is accountability on that day. There is, it seems, for some, a sense of loss on that day of judgment before we enter into the joy of our salvation. And I think this is what the apostle was speaking about when he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He speaks in verse 11 about the foundation that no man can lay, which is Jesus Christ. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are brought onto the one foundation. You're standing upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. So we're talking here about the people of God. We're talking about those who have come to stand upon the foundation of Christ. And as you come to stand upon that foundation, you're building. Your life is building every day. It's some kind of edifice. And here's the materials that are being used. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. What are you building with? Because verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day of judgment, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So there's going to be the fire test on that day. And you apply the fire to your building. If it's gold, silver, precious stones, well, the fire will have no effect. It'll make them flash all the more brightly. But if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burned up. Isn't that what Paul says? If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So there's a sense of loss on the day of judgment. When those works of wood, hay, and stubble go up in smoke as the fire is applied to the work that we've done here on the earth. But we will be saved, though there is the sense of loss. Hidden attitudes and sins will be exposed. Think of the next chapter there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 2, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And sometimes I wonder will there be tears on the judgment day. Tears of regret. A sense of failure, if you like. Because we fell far short of what we should have been. Now I know that we all, in a sense, fall far short of what we should be. But there are some, we have to say, fall very, very far short. Revelation 21 verse 4 speaks about a day that is future, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now God wouldn't have to wipe away tears if the tears were not there. Coming a day we'll stand before God, we'll give an account on that day. Our works will be tried, the fire test will be applied. Will there be that sense of failure, that sense of loss? We'll be standing before God with flooding tears, and then God will come and wipe away the tears. All things are brought to light. That's what Jesus is saying here in this passage of Scripture. One day, including those times when we withheld the light of the gospel from perishing souls. Are you telling your family? Are you telling your friends? Are you telling your neighbors about Jesus, the mighty to save? You have received the light yourself. You are to give out that light. Are you beaming that light to the lost around you? You have found the medicine for your sin-sick soul. Are you sharing it with the spiritually diseased? If you knew of a cure to a terrible sickness, maybe cancer or something, and you withheld that knowledge, what does it say about you? How more infinitely more important it is with the knowledge of the gospel that you have. If you withhold that knowledge, think of the judgment day. Think of that moment when you will give an account of your service to the Lord. When you will give an account of what you've done with the light that ought to be set on a candlestick for all to see. And then one final thought in closing. There's a startling exclamation here, and we have it in verse 23. If a man have ears to hear, let him hear. Christ has already used this expression, as we saw last Lord's Day, or maybe it was the Lord's Day before, in this parable of the sower. We have it in verse 9. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's very striking that the Lord seemed to use this expression in his ministry. 7 times the New Testament tells us, the Gospels tell us that Jesus used this expression. I'm sure he used them more times. But in the examples that we have in the New Testament, in the Gospels of his life and ministry, he used it 7 times. And he used it 7 times in Revelations chapter 2 and 3 when he was speaking from the glory to the 7 churches in Asia every time. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And so this was an expression used often by the Lord. And he is saying, if you have the capacity of hearing, then you have a solemn responsibility to sit up and listen. We must not be inattentive or careless when Jesus Christ is speaking. No, we must listen carefully. We must receive the word into our hearts. There's a vast difference between having ears and having ears to hear. We've seen this already illustrated in the parable of the sower in the same chapter. There are those that hear the word, but they allow it to pass straight through their ears. And then there are those who hear the word, but they're listening. And they sit up and they pay attention. They're seeking understanding. They want to get the word into their hearts. That's the kind of hearing that the Lord is speaking about here. You want to listen to what Jesus is teaching in all places. You want to listen to what he's teaching, especially here today. You want to get the word rooted in your heart. That's good hearing. You don't want the word to be swept away so quickly. You don't want it to be forgotten so easily. You don't want it to be choked up so promptly. No, you want the word of God to be buried deeply in your heart so that it brings forth fruit, that you act upon it, that you obey it. And so all I say to you today is take the message here, home with you, in your heart. You are the light of the world. You are that candle to be set on a candlestick. You are to shine the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to those in darkness. And as you think about that, think about the great judgment day when you will give an account to your light shining. And may God challenge us and help us to shine the light as brightly as that sun is shining in the sky today. So take the word with you. May the Holy Ghost bury it in your heart. May you and I act upon it and be the light that we ought to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that great is our responsibility, our personal responsibility. You have given us light, and we are to be that light. And one day God will call us to account as to how we shone that light in this world. It'll all be brought to light on that day. There's nothing hidden that won't be manifested, Jesus said. And in the context, it is with regard to the Lord teaching us that we're candles in this world to be set on a candlestick to shine for Christ. Oh Lord, may we not withhold the gospel from our loved ones and from our neighbors, from our colleagues and friends, whoever they might be, and even to the stranger. Lord, may the light be bright. We pray that you will challenge our hearts. Let us hear what Jesus is saying. And let that hearing go into the heart to do us good and enable us to act upon it. Oh, bless our ministers, our evangelists, our teachers, our Sunday school teachers, our children's workers, our youth workers, our evangelists, our missionaries, as lights in this world. Indeed, every individual Christian is to be that light. Bless them in the witness that they give for Jesus' sake. Amen. The hymn 678, Jesus Saves. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. And I quoted these lines, bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. You get that message out. Jesus saves. Help us, Lord, to bear that news. Help us to shout from the housetops, Jesus saves. Help us to bring the light of the glorious gospel to a needy world sitting in darkness. This is our personal responsibility. Help me to face it. Help the congregation to face it. And help us to go out into this world and proclaim our dear Savior that He's able to save from sin. Separate us now with your blessing. In the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Thank you for coming to God's house today, being part of the service, and you'll be asked to leave in the usual manner. Thank you.